Every year on the third Monday in January, America hosts a Sadie Hawkins-style role reversal where the entire country pretends to celebrate a man whose achievements and values they spent the previous 364 days ignoring, demonizing, and trying to dismantle. Today, your favorite vote suppressors will take a brief respite from disenfranchising black voters, denying history, and increasing inequality to celebrate a real American hero. That's right, it's MLK Day. That's the opening paragraph to an essay written by black author Michael Harriet and published in The Guardian January 17, 2022. The article is titled, MLK is Revered Today, But the Real King Would Make White People Uncomfortable. As your well-read read, I bring you excerpts from the essay. A link to the complete article can be found on the webpage for this show at kboo.fm. Michael Harriet goes on to say, the actual Martin Luther King Jr. who lived and breathed is not the man most people will be honoring today because that Martin Luther King is dead and gone. No, the man upon whom they will heap their performative praise with social media virtual signaling is MLK, a caricature of a man whose likeness has been made palatable for white consumption. Like BLM and CRT, the people who King fought against have now managed to flatten a three-dimensional man to a three-letter, chant-worthy phrase worthy of demonization or deification. Whitewashing an entire human being is not as easy as you think, but I understand why they do it. The real Martin Luther King would make white people uncomfortable. Anyone who knows the unwhitened story of Martin Luther King Jr. understands why white-splaining, what MLK would have wanted, is a favorite pastime of politicians and performative, sympathetic social media quote-unquote allies. The average American might get the heebie-jeebies if they knew they were celebrating a radical who challenged systemic racism, supported reparations, and advocated for a universal basic income. Although in death, he became one of the most revered figures in U.S. history for the entirety of the 39 years that King lived and breathed, there wasn't a single day when the majority of white Americans approved of him. In 1966, Gallup measured his approval rating at 63% negative, and a Harris poll found that 50% of whites felt King was hurting the Negro cause of civil rights. By the time he died in 1968, three out of four white Americans disapproved of him. In the wake of his assassination, 31% of the country felt that he brought it on himself. The sentiments that made him a villain then are still prevalent in America today. When he was alive, King was a walking, talking example of everything this country despises about the quest for black liberation. He railed against police brutality. He reminded the country of its racist past. He scolded the powers that be for income inequality and systemic racism. Not only did he condemn the openly racist opponents of equality, he reminded the legions of whites who were willing to sit idly by while their fellow countrymen were oppressed that they were also oppressors. He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps to perpetrate it, King said. To be fair, King readily admitted that it was his goal to make white people uncomfortable. In his own words, he wanted to, quote, create the kind of tension in society that will help men to rise from the dark depths of prejudice and racism. He went on to explain that nonviolent direct action, King's primary strategy, was an attempt to induce the white community to a point where marginalized people's desperate cries could no longer be ignored. Yet the new, more compassionate America is just as intolerant when Black Lives Matter demonstrators flood into the streets to protest police brutality. Of course, if teaching black history wasn't criminalized as critical race theory, more people might know that the Selma to Montgomery marchers' original intent was to confront their governor about police brutality. Days before a white supremacist put a bullet in his face, King said, "The first thing I would like to mention is that there must be a recognition on the part of everybody in this nation that America is still a racist country. Now, however unpleasant that sounds, it is the truth." End quote. That's why, despite what people who cherry-pick quotes from the I Have a Dream speech would have you believe, King has never suggested that white people should be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. In fact, he regularly judged white people to explain the insanity of white supremacy. Quote, "In their relations with Negroes, white people discovered that they had rejected the very center of their own ethical professions," King wrote in 1956. "They could not face the triumph of their lesser instincts and simultaneously have peace within, and so they rationalized, insisting that the unfortunate Negro, being less than human, deserved and even enjoyed second-class status." End quote. Now that King is dead and gone, leaders like Ted Cruz and Ron DeSantis will sing hosannas for MLK while demonizing Black Lives Matter and critical race theory as Marxist, un-American race baiting. It is no coincidence that Alabama's Governor George Wallace described King as, quote, "perhaps the most dangerous racist in America today." Even after his death, conservative leaders sought to sully King's legacy by erasing the prospect of a holiday honoring him. "Reverend King's motives are misrepresented," wrote then Ohio Senator John Ashbrook. "He sought not to work through the law, but around it." End quote. And the conservatives won. They only agreed to honor King's legacy after enough time had passed to sufficiently whitewash the radical who unapologetically fought for liberty and justice for all. The people who continue to protect broken systems of criminal justice, education, and democracy might not necessarily hate King, but they do not love him or anything he stood for. The polling data proves it. Historical facts prove it. The bits of blood and bone that stained the balcony outside of a Memphis hotel proves it. More importantly, the fact that Black Americans are still fighting the same battles against voter suppression, inequality, and the right to have a dream almost 54 years after his death is the most accurate measuring rod of what this nation thinks about Martin Luther King. Perhaps that is the most uncomfortable fact of all. I've been reading a lightly edited version of an article by Michael Harriet published in The Guardian titled "MLK is Revered Today, but the Real King Would Make White People Uncomfortable." That was bassist and vocalist Esperanza Spalding with a tune called "I Know You Know."